How's it going, Reef Keepers? Welcome back to another episode of We the Reefers. And this week, we're going to be covering lighting. And it felt kind of appropriate to cover lighting because, well, one, big sun event this week. So the eclipse where I live was 95% coverage. So pretty darn good, right? People out on the West Coast got like, you know, 25, 40% or something like that, somewhere in that range. So I feel a little bit bad for them, but through kind of, you know, everywhere spanning up from like, I think through Texas and Louisiana area, up through like Arkansas, Ohio, Vermont, like kind of on an arc passing through those regions, everybody was pretty close to 100, and it was a cloudy day, so I was worried that, you know, we weren't going to be able to see the eclipse. And I actually went to grab my daughter from school in between classes because luckily my class schedule allows me to snag her myself as opposed to her having to ride the bus, which is cool. But as I pulled up, it was pretty funny. It was pouring down rain and they had, I mean, it's an event that, like, you know, you want to see it. You might not see it again. Like, you really conceivably, very possibly might not see it again. So they forged ahead because there was no lightning. So it was just like, you know, steady rain. So I pull up to the school to get in like the you know, like U-shaped pickup line. And here's like 200 kindergartners all standing out with those like little paper, you know, solar glasses that they give them. And the solar glass, they're staring up into the clouds. And the solar glasses literally had become like saturated with rainwater because it's just like constant rain. And so these kids are like soaking wet, staring up at the sky and their solar glasses were so wet, they were falling off their faces. So all the kids had their hands on their faces, like holding the solar glasses on, which was like such a crazy sight to see. And so like I parked and I could see my kid, which was cool. So I got to see her, like, you know, trying to see it. And it was wild. Like, it's almost like two storms were kind of like jostling alongside each other. And I could see this like crease in the sky where it was lighter, you know, and then there were like darker clouds around it. And I was like, oh man, you know, if that would just open up for a minute, because I knew the sun was right there. You could see the glow of it behind these, you know, like light gray clouds. And it was wild. All of a sudden, one storm over the course of like 3-4 minutes kind of shifted and started to move at greater speed away from the other one. And for literally like, I would say a 60 second window, it was a full, like, unobstructed view of the actual eclipse, like at its, like, it had to be near peak. It had to be above 90%, you know, when that took place. And so I stepped out of my car to see the kids, and like that, when I opened the door of my car, like the roar of these 200 kids like screaming in joy, just in this pouring rain, looking up at this thing with their little glasses, was so epic. Like, that's what it's all about. It's really cool. Like a really cool thing for them to witness and see. And like, I hope everybody got to see it because I'm a huge space nerd. Like, I often feel like, you know, there's a whole parts of the hobby, whole large contingents of reef keepers who also have like tangential interest or deep interest in like everything from like space to like tech and cameras and, you know, reptiles. And like, there's, it's so interesting to see what else reefers are interested in besides reef keeping. Because if you're keeping a saltwater reef tank and you're putting that kind of work into keeping a saltwater reef tank in your home, or multiple tanks for probably most of us, because you're so into this hobby, I have to believe like there are other hobbies and or just like hardcore interests. So I know there's a large contingent of like space freaks in this hobby too. And I'm way into it. I am there for that. But the other reason I wanted to do kind of an average hobbyist lighting overview, so to speak, just a me, regular reefer, no deep knowledge on like, you know, spectrums and lighting or anything like that, but like plenty of familiarity with certain lighting products at this point, 6 years in. The other reason I wanted to do it is because, and this is kind of, unfortunately, audio viewers are at a disadvantage here, but visual people, if you're watching on YouTube, take a look right in front of you. The three lights that are on right now, do those look like radiance to you? They're not. So I did do a massive equipment change to my tank. And I would personally call it an upgrade, right? Up for debate, but I'd call it an upgrade. So I swapped out the three Radeon XR15 G6 Pro units that I had on this tank as my primary light drivers. And now my three primary drivers are ReFi Uno 2.0 Pros from ReFi Labs. So I had wanted, and we'll get into it like later in the podcast, because I know not everybody, I wanted to get through like a general lighting discussion and like my journey through lighting and everything first, because I know not everybody, so there are some people who follow this podcast that love to just listen to Reef Talk, right? And then there's a contingent of people who follow me who do enjoy like me being like looking at aspects of the hobby with a critical eye or applying reasonable doubt to certain things, or just, you know, like approaching it with a certain like academic caution, so to speak. And not everyone enjoys that, as I saw on the last podcast episode. And I'm less reacting to that because, like, to be honest with you, like, the people who got upset last time about me kind of saying that, like, coral concoction was a little bit radium doctory, like, I had some people get, like, hardcore mad about that. And I actually do, in a future episode, want to talk about people who put stock in, like, you know, how many cool acros you can grow versus, like, academic deep knowledge. I'm not going to get into that conversation today. But it did kind of highlight for me that, like, an aspect of what I do, and it's a critical aspect of myself, I like to question, and I like to critically think through certain aspects of this hobby, even if I'm not, like, a deep study on it. Not everybody's into that, and some of you guys, like, will listen to me do that, and that's fine, but a lot of you want just to talk and just hear somebody talk about reef keeping, and like, that's cool too. And by the way, that's why I watch, like, you know, Reef Dork every week. Reef Dork, you know, in Prestige, they tend to sort of shy away from getting into that like nitty gritty stuff that I will get into, and like the doubting aspect of the hobby, or like, you know, the competing ideologies behind certain aspects of the hobby and things like that. I don't want to shy away from that. That's, you know, like a pillar for me of what I'm interested in this hobby. And like, I have like, you know, a core belief system that informs that, right? But I also want to balance it with talking about the hobby, because, you know, that's why I watch stuff like Reef Dork. It's like, it's incredibly, you know, cathartic to just talk about how cool fishing coral are, and what experiences people have had, and what kind of things people have noticed. And, you know, like, that's just an easier thing to, you know, listen to, I guess. So I'm gonna try, at least when I can, like, when the topic affords the ability for me to do this, to sort of segment things out, so that, you know, like, people who want to get into that more critical stuff with me, you can hang out and, like, you know, get that. And then people who don't, you know, like, you know, we'll have part of the episode that's just about reef keeping. So I'll start out with that. I'll start out with just like reef keeping talk. So my new lights, which I'm incredibly, incredibly happy with, are the final stage, or the latest stage. Like, I act like I'm never going to upgrade my lights again. I'm going to bring you through my light journey and show you how many times I have upgraded my lights. I don't think I've ever gone through that, even in, like, you know, any of the YouTube videos that I've posted. So I'll start at the beginning of my light journey in reef keeping, okay? So I'll say right off the bat, again, I've been in the hobby 6 years. It's not that I don't have the opportunity even now to do this, but I entered the hobby when LED reef lighting had, like, fully saturated and taken hold and was, like, industry standard and, like, not, you know, really disputed by any large contingent of people. We'll get into people who, you know, dispute this, you know, dominance or, like, superiority of LED lights later. But for now, just know, when I entered the hobby, all I knew was LED, right? Like I'd had no preconceived notions about gear, about lights, about, you know, what corals preferred, about, you know, spectrum, about anything. So I was like, all right, you know, I'm gonna get like a cheap reef light for my Fluval Evo 13.5 gallon tank. So small tanks and like reef lights, like that's an interesting, like it's, I think it's easier to pick lights for a big tank because you're just like, okay, like I can go with bigger lights or more small, like more, a higher quantity of smaller lights. And I know I've just got this expanse that I need to light, and I kind of got to worry about if it's a mixed reef, the different levels where, you know, how the lighting's going to be striking the reefscape because certain corals are going to be grouped in certain places. But like, you just have this bigger canvas to work with and make adjustments on. But like, a light on a small reef tank, like you do, I think, have to, you know, probably more carefully think that through. From a financial aspect, you want to more deeply think through what you're going to do on a big tank because it's going to be way more money to light a big tank, right? But on a small tank, you want to get the light right. And I had no idea what I was doing, so I bought a Current USA. So like, this company is not really talked about a whole lot in the reef keeping hobby, and I kind of, based on my experience, now it was 6 years ago, maybe things are different now. But as far as I'm concerned, like I won't buy lighting from them again because the light that I got, which I think it was what, an 18-inch like LED strip light with like adjustable feet that came out from the sides of it. So kind of like an AI blade-ish, but like, you know, it basically, you know, I'm no fan of the blade after I've seen teardowns of that and like people go into the spectrum of it and stuff. I think it's way overrated. But this Current USA light that I got, the appearance was not to my liking. Like the appearance was when the light was on, the visual was that it gave off. I didn't love that. It always felt dim. The PAR was not strong, like at all in this thing. Like, let's see, what else? Oh, it started rusting quickly, like at the ports where the like leg pieces went in, which was weird. I'm like, this is a saltwater reef, like it's literally marketed as a reef light, like what? And then the like controlling it, oh my God, it was an absolute, I think they have an app now. I think I saw an ad for them recently where they had like an app, so that's good. But at the time it had this like control box thing, and it was just the jankiest thing, right? And it would like lose its clock and all the time, and it was just terrible. So I struggled with that for a while, and then I was like, all right, I can't take it anymore. I need to, you know, actually, I think that light was $120 at the time. So I was like, okay, it's time to get a real quote unquote light for my tank. And at the time, and I still champion people watching this series because I think it is a great encapsulation of, you know, all of the like base pillars of reef keeping. Even though I don't really agree with like where the company is today, like it's still a great series, but I had just watched 52 Weeks of Reefing, and I'm like, BRS is the shining city on a hill. Like I'm gonna look to them if I'm gonna get a quote unquote real reef light. And at the time, the AI Prime 16 HD was like getting huge push from Bulk Reef Supply. It was their best selling light. Tons of people were giving it rave reviews. The AI app was very solid. I don't know if any of you guys remember that before they ported all of the AI. Like, the AI app may still exist, but most of it's been ported into Mobius at this point. Like, I control all my AI stuff over Mobius now. So, like, basically, I got this AI Prime 16 HD, put it on a little mounting arm over the tank, and I was, like, in love with that light. And by the way, that light still runs over that tank to this day. And it still functions just fine, with the exception of the lenses melt, right? Which is like not a great look. By the way, AI, come on with the lenses. Like, that's just so bad. The fact that they haven't fixed that. I have a video out on AI customer service about other things, but lenses included. That's a mess. But with the exception of the lens melting problem, that light has served me pretty well. So I was good with that and ran it with success until I won a contest at my local reef store for a AI Prime, no, not AI Prime, AI Hydra 32 HD. Put the AI 32 over that same tank for a while. And I kid you not, that 32 HD unit running over that tiny little 13-gallon Fluval Evo, that was. Now, I only ran it at like 5% or something because, I mean, that's a ton of light. That's basically like putting two AI primes, like ram them into each other and like, you know, put them 6 inches above the surface. That light like kept coral thriving better than any tank that I've ever kept, except for the one in front of you. So like this tank and that little tank with the 32 over it are like equivalent in their ability to keep coral thriving, which is really saying something, right? So like what I'm saying is like after you've been in the hobby for a while, you can kind of gauge the stability of your system just by walking up to it and taking a good look at it. You kind of have a feel for your coral, you know how they act when things are off. And so like the stability of the system in front of you, which is quite stable at this point, like that tank, as soon as I put that 32 HD on and everything settled in, it was like locked in stability wise. Like that tank was amazing. My wife was even like, this is way cooler than I thought it would be, you know, and she's like not super into any of it. So she's like, I mean, that was a pretty good, you know, pretty good review when I got that on there. So what that light or what that setup rather taught me was, you know, I'd heard snippets watching reef videos, just getting into the hobby at the time about how you want this blanket of light over your tank. You want multiple lights over your tank. You want to be hitting your coral from, you know, as many angles as possible to improve stability and growth and everything. And I was like, well, yeah, but that would cost so much money. Also, it didn't make much sense because I had that tiny tank. I'm like, what am I going to do? Like, get three AI primes and like angle them in here. But having like a, you know, fairly serious reef light that was powerful that I could put like a blanket over the top of the tank, like that 32, that taught me the importance of truly having light hit your corals if you can afford to from different angles and create sort of a blanket effect. So I was like, all right, you know, this is like, I buy this basically. Like, I, you know, that is going to be kind of where I drift in the future. I'm going to go for like greater coverage of light, you know, that's going to be kind of my, you know, just my goal. So from there, I got a 25-gallon tank, and for the 25-gallon tank, I went with a widespread light, kind of thinking, okay, I'm going to keep following this approach. The widespread light that I chose for the 25-gallon tank was a Kessel A360X, and I still like have a like Kessel is still my mistress. Like I still have a thing for Kessel, but I know that like, you know, I got to stay the course. I can't go down that road again. I don't have a Kessel anymore. But I did really love one, the clarity that that light provided. Like I always felt like it was a bright light that added a lot of like definition when I would look in the tank. I always thought that about Kessel. And I also did like the shimmer. I will say this, I think that Kessel needs to like dial the shimmer back about 25%. Because it is hard for me at least, and my wife echoed this sentiment. It's difficult to look at a tank for a long period of time when it's so busy with shimmer, right? And I understand that like the real ocean reef is very busy with shimmer, right? And that's what it's like emulating. But it's like this is still in a controlled environment in a home. And like having this like shimmer party going on all the time, like casting shimmer on the wall. You can just see this thing moving in your house in the background. I just think they need to tone it down a little bit. That's a personal preference thing, but basically because I thought that like when we moved into this new house and I got the bigger tank, I was like, okay, I do love a lot about the Kessels, but one, Kessels are so expensive, right? I just think they're expensive. And there, I wanted to grow SPS, and I didn't know for sure because I didn't have a PAR meter yet. But a lot of people say Kessel, especially the A360X, is not like a real. It doesn't provide a lot of like downward force intensity. So I was like, and like I'm not making any claims. That's what I read. And so I was like, all right, you know, I think instead of paying, you know, crazy money for a couple more Kessels, I'm gonna go a different direction, and I wanted to do something that was like a gold standard safe bet, right? I wanted a gold standard safe bet for my brand spanking new reef tank. And what I ended up settling on was the Radeon, because the Radeon, I don't think that this is true of the Radeon. I'm not like coming at it, not right now anyway. We'll get into it a little more later in the episode, but I don't think it should be that gold standard, not for the cost, not for what you get for the cost, right? I don't think it's worth the high price of admission, is what I think about the Radeon G6 as the line currently stands. However, it's not a bad light. It really isn't. It's gonna grow coral. It's gonna give you a ton of spread. I was really drawn to the spread thing because I had good experience in that Fluval Evo, providing that blanket of light. So I'm like, okay, if this light, they were talking all about how like the light bounces off the glass so good and back onto the coral to illuminate areas of the coral that would otherwise be dim. And they had moved the diode board or whatever up away from the lens to cause the light to come out at a better, wider angle to cover more ground. So it was very attractive to me. And also, I really was still, it's so interesting, like when you're in reef keeping and you're at a point where like you don't have a system that's in a stable state, like the one in front of you, where like if something starts going wrong, it's stable enough that you have time to figure it out and address it. Like when you're at a point of like general instability or like on the cusp of like falling into instability all the time with your systems, and you just don't have the experience to like keep a stable situation going, like you're so concerned with just keeping the coral good week to week that a lot of the like critical thought about like gear and like spectrum and intensity and spread and like all these different smaller aspects of what's going on, critically important aspects, but smaller aspects, a lot of that falls by the wayside. And you're just like, oh my God, I love this hobby. I've lost so many corals to this point. I can't lose any more coral. I need to not be focused on this all the time, maybe because you just moved like I did or whatever. And you're like, I need the safe bet, right? So I went with what I perceived to be the safe bet, which at the time was the Radeon G6, which forget, they've maybe been out for like a year, I want to say, 6 months, something in there. So it'd been out a little while. And, the initial reviews of that light were really good, generally. And so there were a few early detractors, but like generally they were pretty good. So I was like, okay, I'll go with these. And we'll get into what I think of it later on. I'm saving that. But essentially, I sat with those lights for quite some time. I never got into a groove with them. And the more I watch what Aperture has done and the more critical I become of them, the harder it has been, or it had been, to look at my tank and see Radeons over it. And I'm like, I'm just, I was such a huge BRS guy and so into everything they recommended for so long. I'm like a poster child for Aperture. And it just kind of that irked me, along with the fact that I never got super comfortable with the lights. And there were a couple other things that critically kind of like pushed me over the edge to make this move, because again, the G6 was a good light, right? It was doing its job. And as you guys know, if you've ever done it, swapping out your lights, especially when you have to then like clean up and repackage and sell the old lights to help offset the cost, which is what's going on here for sure. Like those three Radeons are gone. I'm selling those ASAP. So like, because these lights were $1,500, like I can't just incur that expense. So that's a lot of effort, right? It was a lot of effort taking off the Quanta Pro bars and unwinding all the cords and taking them out and swapping a bunch of cord situation stuff around down there, because the power brick portions of it are like, differently designed. And, then you got to remount the new lights with like new mounting hardware and put back together the light stand. And I mean, it's a mess. I mean, it literally took me like an entire afternoon to get it done. Yeah, it's a project. It's a even working diligently, it's a project. So I pulled the trigger and I went with these lights and I absolutely love them. And again, we'll talk about them more as like a comparison feature to feature, like from a value standpoint later on in the podcast. The light I bought most recently, I will say, before these, not for this tank, but for that 25-gallon tank that I once had the Kessel over, when I set that tank back up for my kid, I was like, I set that tank up around Christmas, as some of you guys will know. That 25-gallon tank needed a light, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna do my first foray into like Chinese black box budget light type deal. So like, I got a Nikru Hyperreef 100, and Nikru's pretty well known, and I think they're pretty well regarded. And anything to do with their customer service, they do like reach back out and actually want to like help you if you buy their lights through Amazon. So I don't know if they're like considered a slightly higher tier among the Chinese black box lights, because I see a lot of Chinese black box lights that are like, I have no idea what this company is, what the name, how the name's even pronounced. I've never heard of them before. So I'm sure like of known black box brands that people generally will get when they're on a budget for lighting. Like Nikru's a higher up the ladder. And that light's been great, by the way. That's been a great, simple LED light. Came with a stand, good construction on it. It actually feels a little bit like the body of it feels a little bit better construction than like a Radeon, which surprised me. It's pretty heavy light. Like when I picked up the Nikru for the first time, I thought it was going to be a waif. Like they went, as cheap as they could in every aspect. And I was like, whoa. This is pretty decent. So that brings us current, like to where I am now. And again, we'll get into refi. We'll get into some of my criticisms of the G6, despite the fact that I still hold that it's a totally fine reef light. We'll get into some of it later. But before we get there, I want to talk about other kinds of light that you have options for besides LED. All you really hear about now is LED, 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 and it's pushed. The powers that be in the industry are just shoving LED down everyone's throat as hard as they possibly can. And I get it. Like, that's the new standard. There's lots of money to be made there. The previous options are just kind of, they've fallen by the wayside and they're not massive moneymakers anymore. Not to my knowledge, not for like the wider industry shops that sell dry goods and lighting and stuff. So, but there are other options. So, like, you've got like metal halide, right? And T5. So, I have never run either of these, right? And my preconceived notions, based on nothing, I guess, is that because everyone was using LED, and I eventually heard about, what reefers, quote unquote, used to do. So my conception of this was like halide and T5 is basically dead. It's something that people used to do. The reefing hobby has moved to better technology and moved way beyond halide and LED or halide and T5. So as I've learned more though, and by the way, I still don't know a ton about them. I have no experience with them, but as I've learned more and talked to, people more about them, I'm like, all right, maybe there is something there, right? Because I have heard some pretty respected, like coral farmers and like older school reef keepers who have 100% had LEDs running over tanks in conjunction with tanks running halides or running T5s. I've heard plenty of respected names in the hobby say, oh yeah, like, over my main acro system, like I got LED on everything else because they're so easy to control and they last for years and years and years. But over my main system, my baby, I've still got T5 fixtures. So like that always interested me. But I had a conversation with Salem recently where he kind of revealed to me like he's one of these people and he's young. So that was the different thing that made me kind of sit up and pay attention when I had this conversation was like, normally, these people who are like, oh yeah, I still have a bank of T5s back here, or I still got an old halide running in the basement or whatever, they were always older reef keepers. And I'm not talking like old, old. They're like, 40 and up, right? But compared to Salem, they're old. And Salem's like, Again, he's a microbiome guy through and through and through, bread and butter, right? But he did concede to me the one like gear thing that I really dug deep on because it is of such critical importance to the health of the animal. And it absolutely has bearing on my own research because it's such a critical component. Was like spectrum and light intensity, and like what lights provide, what types of spectrum, and all of this, deeper light research that like I personally have never done. I don't have like a, I don't even know if they call them spectrometers. I would imagine it's a like something you measure the spectrum with is a spectrometer, but I don't have anything like that. I've got just a basic PAR meter, right? So, according to him, he's like essentially a huge believer in halide and T5 because they like one, it's his own anecdotal evidence. He's like, he grows zoas, and he's like, these things grow better under these. They just do. Like, he doesn't have anything against LED per se, but he does think that like we jumped off on the LED train really, really fast before it was totally understood, and that there are like missing things about specifically like the spectrum offered up by LED that you find with T5 and halide, right? So like basically LED still has a way to go before we get to the level of like safe bet that is provided by T5 and halide, which is again for a young guy such an interesting tact to take. So that was really interesting to me, and it made me kind of view T5 and halide in a new light, like with a newfound respect, right? And when he talked to me about spectrum and like how most reefers are running like, such a blue heavy spectrum to get like the black light pop, but really what's best for the health of many corals is to have basically like all channels cranked at 100 so that these corals are getting saturated in as many different color channels as possible, right? I'm probably using like incorrect terminology, but you know how on LED control apps you have sliders for every color channel? Essentially, Salem's like the direction people should be drifting toward is like cranking those channels all up. Like that's better for the animal because that's what the animal's getting on the reef. Now, he did concede, by the way, Blacklight Party people, that there are certain corals that color up better for like to human stand, like our standard of enjoyment, like that basically they color up with colors that humans like to enjoy in their tank more with those deep blues running, right? With heavy blue. So he's like, some color up better under those. However, technically, what they're getting out there is what you want to replicate for like peak coral health and growth. And like that's a lot more of all of these different colors across the spectrum. So in his contention is like T5 and halide provide that better than many LED fixtures do. And I don't have a reason to refute that, like, because I don't know, right? Like he's a smarter guy than me, and he's researched these animals in a far deeper level than me. All I can offer up is my limited perspective and my anecdotal evidence of different LED lights. I don't even have experience in T5 and halide. Now, what I'd like to see, and this is not some kind of like crazy challenge or anything, this would be more of an academic discussion, but what I would love to see would be Telegram and Salem talking, like just having an open, hour or 2 hour live stream where they just chit chat in a super chill fashion about lighting, because that would be such a fascinating conversation to have this like, new school scientific process grounded, kid who also is pulling like technology that many of us consider dead into the mix because he sees reason that it is more relevant than ever right now. And then a guy like Telegram, who is a deep study on lighting as well, like a deep study on like, gear, lighting, tech, and is a believer, at least as far as I've seen, in LED And I don't think it's that he thinks LEDs necessarily better than like halide or anything like that. I think it's that, and this is kind of the tack that I take with it. At this point, what's done is done, and the future's LED, so we need to focus our energies on LED, or like that's just, the best place to focus because that's where all the development's happening. And that's kind of how I see it. Like, unfortunately for like T5 people and halide people, like maybe they do provide better spectrum and stuff like that. And it doesn't really, in the long term, for T5 and halide, in my unesteemed opinion, it doesn't really matter if they're superior because everyone has gone so heavy LED. And LEDs are like the efficiency part's debated, but they are technically more efficient, right? They can be put into a smaller form factor that doesn't need to have like bulbs switched out and stuff like that. So like the convenience of them is too great. And even if they have certain flaws in the kind of spectrum that they can provide or their impact on coral growth or whatever, eventually humans do. When it comes to technology, we're good at that. We are good at that. And if there are these little hitches in the giddy up, as long as they're pushed to do it, eventually, like the private industry will figure out the quirks as time goes, and or the scientists employed by private industry who are constantly tweaking and making LEDs more effective and efficient will, kind of smooth out that technology over time. Like, so that's kind of my view, is that if you're like, here's what I would say to reavers who are entering the hobby. If you study it and you decide you'd rather you believe that, halide and T5 have better spectrum and are better for coral health, and that's the way you're going to go, go for it. Like, I wouldn't push you away from it. However, if you enter the hobby and you're like, I want a small unobtrusive light on a, like a starter size tank, like a 30 gallon or whatever, I got a 30 gallon cube. Would I recommend necessarily? Like, would I, if you were walking in with no preconceived notion of anything and you were like, what should I get? I look at T5 and halide and I'm like, eventually, my question is eventually, how readily available will bulbs be for those? That would worry me. And I'm not saying they're going to go away next year or in 5 years or even in 10 years, but like over time, as the holdouts from like the T5 and halide generation either phase out of the hobby or just end up going LED because of the expedience of it and the some of the other benefits like convenience and longevity. Like as that happens and new blood comes in the hobby and more LEDs are bought, I don't know what the long term looks like for T5 and halide. But I'm pretty certain LEDs are going to be around for quite a while yet before we find something newer and better than LED, right? So I would probably push someone with no preconceived notion or who doesn't want to do some deep study into the pros and cons of all these different things. I'd probably push them in toward an LED light, right? Like a simple LED light. And it's funny, like when I'm like, what would I recommend? Like, I'm sure someone would ask that in the comments. Hey, you said you'd recommend a light. What would you recommend? What I'd probably do is if the person was like, oh, and it, like, this is a gross oversimplification, but like, if a person was over like 35 or 40, I'd feel comfortable showing them the Hyper Reef, the Nycrew Hyper Reef with the clunky little fiddly control box that comes with it that you attach to it. With a wire, and that has it's like an old iPod. Like if anybody under I don't know 25 is listening to this, you're probably going to be like, "Oh yeah, I think I saw a picture of one of those once," which is crazy. But like the rest of you will remember like the iPods that had a screen, but it wasn't a touch screen, right? It had a click wheel, So like those iPods that had actual buttons and like tactile wheels that you could use. That's kind of what these fiddly control boxes remind me of. It's like the Kessel Spectral X controller, which you can use with the Nycrew. It's what I use. It's a horrible software interface, but like I was born in 1990, so like I understand how to use stuff like that. I could troubleshoot my way through it. I had people like losing their minds when I posted a demo of how to use that in conjunction with the Night Crew, because they were just like, this technology is literally insane to me. Like, it makes no sense that this even exists. And it's like, yeah, well, for a while, it's just how we did things. I know how to swim in those waters for sure. But for anybody who's like is under like 35 or 30, I would pretty much just default to pushing them into a light, like a you know, this is like budget stuff, but like I'd push them into a budget light that had an app, right? Like, and when I say budget light, I guess that's the wrong word to use. I'd probably push them up and like, again, I don't love Aperture. And I'd probably talk their ear off about why I don't like Aperture and then recommend this, but like something like an AI Prime 16 HD, like, yeah, like that is a pretty safe bet for somebody who's just starting out and neat and is younger and is used to controlling things through an app. It would probably be the easiest kind of setup for somebody like that, right? It really would. So I'd probably like kind of grit my teeth and be like, well, if you want the app control, you know, you pay a little bit more, like you could have this. So that's probably where I would drift if I had to make recommendations to like new people coming in right now. So with like reasonable sized tanks. Bigger the tank, the bigger the conversation about lighting for you know, options. Okay. Yeah, that's kind of where I stand on like T5, halide, LED. Would love to see Telegram and Salem talk about it. It's not a challenge. I just would love to see it. And just it's so selfishly, I would eat that content up. So, I want to talk about something that not enough people talk about though, as we should kind of start to shift gears a little bit here. I want to talk about light mounts, all right? Because kind of got to gather myself for this. Because this is where I start, like this is one thing where I start getting kind of upset. So light mounts drive me insane in this hobby, considering the cost that they carry for such a simplistic thing, right? So like specifically, okay, let's talk about light mounting. The best, most luxurious way to mount lights over your reef tank, I think probably undeniably, is to hang them from the ceiling above the tank, right? Now, look, we've all seen those tanks with the stunning lights hanging down from over the tank, or there's a canopy on it, or they're just hanging straight down like some kind of art project. It's undeniably stunning compared to like what I have, where you can see the legs on my RMS mount, which is an Ecotec mount made specifically for Radeons. Does it look bad, like the product itself? No. Like, you know, it's got some nice curves on the legs, I guess. However, it's still a very simple thing, right? Like, this is still like, so I love companies often point to, or at least it is said among defenders of companies that overprice things, that, oh, well, they had to put the R&D into that. You're paying for the R&D. Okay, so let's just like take that at face value. If that's what we're doing here, it took, by the way, I used to work in the design field, right? Like my company literally designed like custom furnishings that I worked at. So I know what this stuff looks like, right? I know what like custom metalwork, what custom woodwork, I know what goes into that, all right? And the process of like this happening for me in my previous life, you know, my previous career, was that I'd come up with a concept that a client needed, and I would literally sketch it on a napkin, take a picture of it, or a scrap of paper, or whatever, take a picture of it, send it to an engineer at one of our companies that created this stuff, and that engineer would sit there for the next hour, draft this thing up, and send it back. Now, this is in the case that it's something simple, like a pedestal or a curved railing on a desk, or like, you know, something like that, right? So that was literally like 1 or 2 hours of an engineer kind of plugging numbers into their design software and drawing this stuff out. And now the design process can take longer for more complex things. So if you were to design like a grand information desk at a museum, for instance, that has like local art imagery like laid into the front panels with like a glaze over them that's protective, and then like, you know, glass shielding, especially popular since COVID, you know, all the, like with curved glass pieces and two different kinds of wood grains and wood types, and you know, some kind of marble or granite countertop that had designs laid into it with, you know, like you can get as crazy as you want to get. The R&D, yes, can get costly for sure, but the R&D to draw like the rail that goes across the legs of like an RMS mount, guys, it was drawn one time. I'm telling you, I'm almost positive it was probably drawn like one time. And maybe they did a little bit of tweaking, but like it was probably like the core concept of it was close to completion the first time it was drawn. I swear. Like it is not, and by the way, it took even less time. An engineer might have drawn it during a nap to do the HMS mount, different than the RMS mount. The HMS mount is for AI products, right? So like let's just I got my computer up for this. So like let's do like Ecotec RMS mount and let's just see how much they're selling this for because it is bonkers. So okay, here we go. Bulk Reef Supply. Oh my gosh. All right. This is not what I was looking for, but this is a perfect example of like the outrageous cost of this. So what just popped up for me is the XR15 like single arm mount. So you know what that is, right? It's like, you know, basically a right angle. Like that's what it is. It's like it looks like one of the, by the way, it is basically one of the legs of the mount that you see on my tank in front of you. And you just connect a little like bracket that slides into place with that connects to the actual XR15, right? So it's a little right angle mount. Again, like it's the same thing as the leg on this mount. So like they're reutilizing this same basic design over and over again with minor, if any, tweaks. So it was done one time. Guess how much that costs to mount one XR15 with the RMS XR15 G5 G6 tank mount? They call it the tank mount system. Yeah, right. It's a literal single arm. $108. $108. So when companies and/or people who defend companies and corporations talk about, oh, well, the R&D, the R&D, the R&D, you're paying the R&D. The R&D was paid for a long time ago on these mount systems, all right? They have not changed. It has been paid off. It was paid off years ago. And the material cost for this stuff, they just order it en masse in bulk, right? And they're just running the, I don't know, but I'm guessing that they're just, you know, stamping these things out and then powder coating them. And it's not like it requires some kind of like, you know, intensive assembly like a Vortec or an Radeon would at the Ecotec plant. These things are just coming in loaded in boxes, ready to go. Maybe they package them there. Maybe. Guys, $108? You gotta be kidding me. And that's for a single arm, right? So that alone is enough for me. I'm not even gonna look up the cost of like what this, you know, 4 foot rail, maybe it's, I forget what it is, 4.5 feet or something. And then, you know, the two little legs. I'm not gonna be, partially because it depresses me, because I hate that I had to spend money like that. And by the way, you don't with certain, so Look, in the era of 3D printing, you can generally find some kind of mount that connects to, I'm gonna mess this up, it's either extruded aluminum or aluminum extrusions, okay? And those are like those, they look good. They're like, you know, channels. They're like aluminum bars that have channels carved into them. And I don't know if they're specifically made to have things like attached to them. I guess they probably would be. I don't know why it would exist in that form otherwise. But like the reef keeping hobby, at least the DIY side of the reef keeping hobby, has taken full advantage of the miracle that is home 3D printing or like light industrial 3D printing combined with tank mounts and light mounts and like all this kind of, I mean, like that world exists if you want to tap into it. And honestly, rather than pay the quote unquote R&D that was done half a decade plus ago for like a $108 single right angle arm from one of these companies, I'd almost like go and ask on the reef forums, like how could I make my own little mount with like a clamp and some aluminum extrusions? If you have the willpower to figure it out, I would highly suggest it. Now, I can't just talk about the RMS system. I have to also give a shout out to the single worst product in all of reef keeping that I have ever encountered. And due to my experience with it, I believe it is still the single most overpriced thing that I have ever encountered in reef keeping. And that is the vaunted HMS mount, all right, for AI lighting. All right, let's look it up. So HMS mount. Let's just see what it turns up on this. So the multi-light mount kit on Bulk Reef Supply. Let's take a look. What are you selling this for, BRS? Okay, the multi-light mount kit includes two mounting feet, two pivoting brackets, and two 15-inch vertical rails. So they show that it's like a whole setup like mine, like foot on this side, and in the picture, it has a center rail that goes across it, okay? That is not what this is. When you look at what's included, it's everything but that top rail that goes across it. So basically, what you're getting, even though they break this out into like a list of components as though you're getting a whole bunch of stuff, you're not. Well, you are. You're getting a pile of pieces, because that's how it comes. It's a pile of pieces that, in my experience, none of the pieces fit together because they are so badly machined with such poor quality control that the metal, there's like metal shavings and like, you know, little bits of metal that are hanging out that don't allow like the plastic feet to go into the rail. The plastic feet themselves are like, you know, totally off. The dimensions were totally off for me. I literally ruined several like sanding bits on my drill trying to like, you know, and use a product that's not even used for this, like sanding out little horrible like pieces of metal that had like, you know, not been shorn off properly to get just to get the plastic feet to fit into this thing. It was literally like I had cuts all over my hands. They don't finish the edge. So like the edge, like, people don't know this, but most products that you get, especially products that cost as much as the pricing I'm about to reveal to you for this HMS mount, like, it's called out, at least at good companies, to like sand down or soften. We used to call it softened edges. So like when you get like a you order a block of acrylic or an acrylic shield for a desk or something, you would call out for the edges to be softened so that if somebody grabs it and it like slips, there's not like a sharp edge that would cut them. Oh, the HMS system literally like it just got chopped off on the line. Nobody softened that steel where like the cut occurred. Nobody took off all the little shavings that are still attached that would obstruct you putting it together. And they just ship it out, right? And they charge for the 2 feet only on Bulk Reef Supply, $91. 2.5 stars. That's what it's rated. $91 for 2 feet. It is literally like this is what I have to take a breath because I get so upset when I see stuff like this, because it is unabashed greed. It is unchecked, just filthy greed is what it is. The R&D on this stuff was paid so long ago. And by the way, before I move on, Ecotech, I just want to say, is the absolute king of all the Aperture, the whole Aperture umbrella of all the companies that I personally have experience with and like have seen pricing for. The greed of Ecotech is unmatched. They are the king. It is ridiculous. Like the real quick, I'll get off this quick, but you guys know the cost of an MP40 now is $470 for an MP40. How long has the MP series been around? They've updated it like once to make it supposedly quieter. I can't verify that, but I didn't have the original version. But like, guys, they haven't changed the like basic way the MP40 works, or even the basic profile of the MP40 since its like a debut. And you're telling me that that R&D is not paid off, that in fact the R&D cost is increasing over time along with inflation? Because that's what a $470 price tag for a power head reads to me. I understand that it's cool that it hangs on the cords on the outside of your tank. They just keep re-upping that patent every time it comes up. I get it. Like it's different. But why are we still paying the R&D cost for that? It was paid off 100 times over years ago. And people would argue with me and say, look, it's a luxury item. It's become a luxury item and people buy it, right? You guys ever see the episode of The Office where Michael Scott has like peppermint bark or something and he's eating in his office and some like in depression and somebody's like, nobody likes that stuff. And he goes, they wouldn't make it if people didn't buy it. And by the way, it's true. The more people buy into the hype for that power head and buy it, they're just gonna keep inching that price up. An MP40 is gonna be $500. It will be $499 by the end of 2024. I'm calling it now. $499 for an MP40 by the end of 2024. They know no bounds. And when I say they, I'm not even talking about Ecotech. I'm talking about Aperture. They know no bounds. They don't care. So, for what you can get for $100 or less that provides the same amount of flow, it's just me, guys. Like, this is where I get into stuff that angers some people, but, and this is just me, this is my view. But I believe that companies, like, there are so many people out there that are like, companies exist to make money. Sack up, Sally. Companies exist to make money. And I get that, but like the MP40 does not have to be $470 for Ecotech to turn a profit. And I just believe that every entity in society, even big venture capitalist groups like Aperture, are beholden in some way to like the human species, right? Like at some point, you need to not just raise prices to ridiculous levels just to sleep on a bed of money every night, and that's the only reason. Just to own it all. Just to sleep on a bed of money that gets taller and taller and taller by the day. Like, to what end? Like, world dominion? Like, I don't know what you're. I mean, again, our hobby is very, very small. So nobody's going to dominate the world with it, buying up the reef keeping hobby. But like, these prices, like the prices that things cost, like that the where pricing goes and how like what the perceived ceiling on this stuff is, like it matters. And I just think, like, look, I talk about Aperture like there's some kind of, it's like a guy in a room with a bald guy stroking a cat and cackling as he destroys the common reefer, okay? Like maybe one of them's like that, but at the end of the day, they're all just a bunch of rich guys. They're all just a bunch of rich guys that, you know, have Zoom calls and meet in boardrooms and figure out ways to make more money. And this is one of their big drivers that they make more money on. And I'm just like, at some point, do you have a conscience? Like, what's interesting to me, I'm gonna get into this. What's interesting to me that I've seen in recent years, and I've seen this in everything from like restaurants all the way to like MP40s, like something that specific. I've seen, this is like my own theory that I'm seeing, right? I'm not gonna give you like economic numbers behind it or whatever. It's just a general feeling that I've gotten. So like, as the population of society has increased decade over decade, I feel like at one point, companies kind of had to care about attracting the little guy, or not even the little guy, the average guy, right? As far as like income is concerned. So basically, what I'm saying is there weren't enough people in the luxury bracket and like the top 10% of wage earners to keep a company going, right? So, or keep a restaurant going or whatever. So they had to also think about controlling pricing and cost and not, you know, just exorbitantly charging for everything so that they could also attract some of those average Joes in the middle, right? However, in like the last 5 to 10 years, I really feel like a shift has occurred where like the likes of Aperture and Ecotech are totally happy only appealing in their pricing on certain products to the top 10% of wage earning reefers. They are totally happy there, and now there are enough people because of just population growth over time. There are enough people existing in that top 10% who can afford to buy this stuff whenever they want that are basically funding and floating and encouraging this kind of behavior where you're raising the price of an MP40 to $470, $499 by the end of 2024. Take it to the bank. It's happening. So I've started to really become aware of this, and I've also felt this at restaurants too. Like even restaurants that should be like mid-tier restaurants, man. I'm like, how is it $50 for me to have a meal here? Like, it's not even anything crazy. I'm not even buying drinks. I'm not a big drinker. I don't drink. Like, I go to a restaurant and order like a regular meal, and once I pay the tip and everything, I'm like, oh my God, like, how did it cost me $50 to have a meal? And it wasn't even some kind of like, it's not like I ordered a New York strip at a fancy steakhouse. Like, I don't get it. And as I think about it though, like I think at first, like I don't get it. How is that possible? I think it's truly because more and more companies and, you know, whatever, restaurants, just entities out there. And it depends, of course, on the industry, right? There are some industries that just cater to, you know, middle or lower class people. But like, I think more and more and more, you're seeing this disproportionate focus on appeasing the people who still have money to throw around. And as everybody else has slowly had less money to throw around over the decades, and that money's been congregated up at the top, like those are the people that they like, that's why pricing is getting so out of control on certain quote unquote luxury items, like items that didn't used to be that way. Like an MP40 for $470 is a ridiculously bad value. That is a truly appalling value for a product, right? I just think that's ridiculous. So that's me. You can argue with me. You can hate on me and be like, rah, 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 you know, unchecked capitalism, whatever. Like, I'm not having an economic debate about it. It's something I've noticed, and I think this plays a part. I think that there's enough people who can buy this, who can pay these exorbitant, unjustifiable prices just to say my cord hangs on the outside of my tank, that the likes of Aperture doesn't care about everybody else anymore. They don't care. They just don't care. I see little reason to the contrary, or little evidence to the contrary, right? I digress. Let's go back to lighting. Sorry. I get upset when the common reefer starts like getting priced out of this hobby completely And it, you know, it again, they could buy a Jabouse. I get that. And it'll probably, if enough of them did that, maybe it would cause a market correction of some kind within the small reefing hobby. Maybe. I'm not convinced of that anymore, but maybe. I know people can still do it on a budget, but like, I still like, I believe that even the common reefer, if they really like a product, should be able to like reasonably save up and buy that product. Like an MP40 for near $500, that's not putting that in the realm of possibility. That's crazy. That's crazy town. All right. So G6, the G6. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about, and I'm not going to come into this. I'm going to take a breath. I'm not going to come into this like because I'm hot about the Vortec. I'm not as hot about the G6, okay? But it is interesting to me. So like the more I thought about this product, the more interesting it got. So basically, we have the G5, right? G6 comes out. I struggle, and like maybe there is a visual difference. I struggle to identify a visual difference in the two of them when you're just looking at them on a tank. I don't really see any, like, dimensionally, are they different? I don't think they are. Is like the form factor overall different? I don't think it is. You know, does it have like, you know, wider spacing for the plate that's over the fan or like, I don't think so, right? Is it a different mesh kind of grill over the fan? You know, is the lens different? Like, no. To me, the G6 is the G5 and with a couple of tweaks, right? So like, here's the tweaks. And this is, by the way, this is part of why I got rid of the G6. So here's the tweaks. They did have different diodes in them. I don't know if that's because of like what I was talking about earlier, where like over time diodes get better and more efficient. So they just, you know, it makes sense. Like 2 years later, diodes have gotten better. And so they want to put new diodes in it, like whatever. Or maybe they went after better, higher quality diodes. I'm not sure. But they had different diodes that made the spectrum output more like the G4. Okay. So, like, you know, the G4 is now held in very high regard, like very high regard. It's interesting how high of regard the G4 is held in 2 generations of Radeons later, almost to the point where it feels like the G6 regressed, you know, versus where the what the G4 offered. Very interesting, right? I never had a G5 or a G4, but so I'm talking about like reefers with history in Radeons. Like it's interesting to hear them talk about that. Also, while the lens didn't change, the proximity of the diodes to the lens did. So I don't know. Either they like put, I don't know how this would work. I guess maybe they just lifted the board that the diodes are mounted on so that there was a greater angle of spread as they came through the lens, right? That would be my guess. I don't know how this really works, but that would be my guess. However, everything else about this light essentially stayed the same. And all they focused on, I remember at the beginning, was the spread, the spread, the spread, the spread. The spread is so awesome on the G6, right? And by the way, that's part of what attracted me to it because I had had that experience having like a blanket of light over that little tank. I'm like, great. Each one of these units is going to put out a blanket of light. And by the way, credit where credit's due, they spread light out. They spread for sure. Possibly to the, well, there's a couple of detrimental effects of this. One, when I put those lights on my tank, my wife was sitting in the living room. I turned them on and she just looks at me and goes, "I hate those lights." And I look over at her and like the light is shining out of the side of the tank directly in her eyes. And where I would sit on the couch so that I could enjoy my tank and watch television at the end of the day, literally the G6 is boom, right into the side of my eye, right into my left eye the whole time. So I think that the spread became too great for like aesthetic comfort or spatial comfort in the area immediately surrounding the tank. Like, I really do. Like, even in the broader room, depending on the size of the room it's in. So that is a personal criticism on my part. Not everybody will have that problem. Not everybody cares about light spilling out into your room like that. But my wife hated it, and I was not a huge fan. And the other problem was, because really not all that much changed about this light, they did not compensate in terms of power, like downward thrust intensity punch power. They did not compensate enough for to account for the greater spread, right? So these lights, and again, I like so many things in this hobby, this is contentious. I felt like those lights, I'm not going to say they're weak, okay? But they weren't super strong for the price. They didn't have a lot of downward force intensity. They just didn't. So, and I could see this. Like, I could crank my channels, not across the board. By the way, I'm going to run tests before I sell my last G6. I'm going to run a bunch of comparison tests between the refis and my last G6. I want to really put that G6 through its paces and see what the heck it's capable of. But I never felt like I was getting a strong punch for my SPS along the top of the scape out of the G6. And by the way, as time has gone on, so at first, I mentioned earlier, there were some early detractors regarding the intensity of the G6. But it was like at first, everybody shelled out $500 a pop for these things and didn't want to criticize them because they're like, I just shelled out $500 a pop. But now, when you look on the Reef forums about the G6 and intensity, you're gonna see a lot of criticism leveled at it, especially from like people with SPS tanks or farmers. Like coral farmers are like, yeah, like why can I not get more punch out of this? Why am I not seeing better growth? And it's not everybody, because again, it's so hard to measure like why this contention exists. Like you'd think, if a light's weak, everybody's just going to agree on it, but it's not the case. One, there's hype factor, right? So there's always that. So, but two, every situation, every tank dimensionally, every like, how many lights are in an array and how close together they are, how far off the water surface they are, what kind of program they're running, all this different stuff. There's so many variables that go into every person's unique setup that it's essentially like impossible, for the reef hobby to agree whether the G6 is a strong light or a weak light, right? Because everybody's running it different. So there's some people who are like, oh, I easily get, 400 par on the top of my scape with XR15s. And then there's people who are like, I can't get to 250 par with all my channels cranked. Now, that could be totally due to the setups of their tank, but nonetheless, there's tremendous controversy that has cropped up over time regarding the G6. And there's a lot of people who are late adopters of the G6 that feel betrayed by like the good reviews and hype that came out initially when it was tested. So this is interesting. Again, I told you I'm not as hot at the G6 as I am at like Vortex. So I'm not like, sniping the G6. The G6 was fine, but it never felt like, it just didn't feel like when I cranked my intensity up that when I stuck the par meter in the tank, I was expecting it to basically be like 50 to 100 par higher than it was. That's how I felt. So I'm gonna put it through its paces and I'm really gonna test it. But there's a couple interesting things about like how they marketed the G6 that are just weird to me. So like, here's the first. There was a lot of talk back at the beginning about the bounce of the light off the glass and back into the tank on the corals. The way they marketed this, especially because at the time I was not like, being very critical. I was a fanboy of Bulk Reef Supply. So back at the time they were doing all the testing on it and talking about this light refraction and bounce off the glass and all this stuff, to me it sounded all glossed up and revolutionary. I'm like, oh, whoa, wow, they thought about that. They thought about the light bouncing off the glass onto the coral. That's brilliant. Over time, though, it seems almost like that is like a fallback position now when when criticism of the light's intensity is leveled at it. A fallback position has become, well, is your glass clean? Or how wide is your tank? Is it too wide for the glass to reflect off, or the light to reflect off the glass? And it's like, whoa, wait a second. So now that I think about this, it's bizarre to me that a company that specializes in lighting, reef tank lighting, would build into the equation for intensity of the light the reflection of that light off of the glass back onto the coral and treat that as a constant, because it's not. It's a totally ever differentiating variable from reef tank to reef tank, from reefer to reefer. That is a total variable factor in this equation. It is not a constant. So why would you base part of the light's success off of this? It seems like very wishful thinking, or, well, either ignorant thinking or wishful thinking that like this will work out long term and everybody will be happy with it. Or there's this. It kind of feels to me, I'm sure somebody's gonna get really mad in the comments, whatever. I'm rolling with it. It seems to me like Ecotec, when they were like, all right, we gotta come out with a new light, they were like, what could we do so that we don't have to retool anything in the factory? We don't have to retrain anybody in the factory at all. We don't have to change any of the lines. We don't have to change, the boxing. We don't have to activate any new parts of our supply chain. What can we do so that everything will remain unchanged? And therefore, because by the way, when you change that, when you change supply chain, when you change components that you need, when you change the manufacturing and assembly process, when you change the packaging, it costs money, right? So it's almost like they were like, what could we do where we don't have to really change anything? Maybe we glue new diodes on here because there are better ones available now, and we can say that. And then let's just like lift the board up a little bit so that it's a wider angle spread, and we really hype and focus on that part of it, and nothing else changes, and we make absolute bank. It seems like, and I don't know if Aputure had taken over yet when the G6 came out. So G6 came out in May 2022, and then 2023. Oh no, 2021. Was that like when Aputure took over? I think it was. I think 2021 was like the big Aputure, takeover. So it's. I don't know how far into the development process they were with the G6 at that point, but this approach where they're like, we're gonna bank on these like weird variable factors like glass bounce and treat them as their constants, which is not true, and anybody in reef keeping would know that that's a terrible bet. And also this whole like everything's gonna be the same, the supply chain will be the same, no retooling of the factory, we're not gonna have to retrain anybody. We're literally like maximum cost savings for Ecotec. That kind of approach, it really does like feel, it just kind of reeks to me of like some kid with an MBA coming in and counting beans and being like, here's the plan, boys, we're gonna be rich. And it just kind of reeks of Aputure, right? This is all speculation. This is wild speculation. But it reeks of that to me. So it's not surprising to me that over time these problems and criticisms have cropped up, and I've been hearing more and more voices come at the G6 over that. Again, not taking away the fact that it is a light that works pretty well and grows coral. Like, not pretty well. It works well and it grows coral. So, here's the other weird thing that also reeks to me of this like corporate approach, BS. So, when these criticisms started to pick up steam, note that out of the gate, like this light came with one lens setup, right? I'm going to compare it real quick so you have some perspective. Those ReFi Uno 2.0 Pros in front of you, which by the way are stronger lights than the Radeon. So I'll just throw that out there. I know without testing them that they're stronger. The numbers pan out that way. So they're stronger, but also in the box, they come with what they call, it's a nice little marketing naming touch here, but they call these plates their reflectors. So the reflectors are like a plate that goes over the diodes and shapes how the lighting comes out, right? So like when you look at these, you can see the array of dots on the bottom of each one, and those are actually little concave wells, and sunk up into those wells are the LEDs. So out of the box, you have the ability to pop four screws, slap on a totally different spread that you want your light to be, pop the screws back in, and you have that on a stronger light. By the way, that doesn't rely on Bluetooth. It uses, Wi-Fi. What? For $480. And the G6 is retailing for $400 or $530. $530 the G6 today. Interesting, right? So like basically the Radeon ships out, the G6 ships out with only one kind of lens, and when this could very well be a problem, and I think there would have been I would have thought smart people at Ecotec would have been like, we didn't compensate for the added power we needed to include to spread the light out this much. This is going to be a problem for people trying to get higher par values over higher par demanding coral, right? It didn't, so nothing came with it or was like said to be in development or anything to address this problem that was almost inevitably going to crop up. However, near the end of the G6's light cycle, I don't know when it was, maybe a couple months ago, what did they announce? Oh, a lens kit that you get to buy yourself. So, like, they base this light on a faulty assumption for some reefers in some reefing applications. They're making those reefers pay for their incorrect assumption. And for $529, you're getting a light that you may conceivably have to buy a fix for right out of the box separately, right? So that to me is like kind of flat out wrong. That feels wrong, right? I don't know. It just feels weird, guys. Like it's unsurprising when I look at it through like a lens of like what I see like big venture capital or corporate entities do. But for Ecotec, like I'm pretty sure, at least I haven't heard about like in the history of Ecotec to this point, anything quite like this happening. So I would say that like the Radeon G6 was flawed in its conception. And that like hype about spread and light reflection off glass and stuff was utilized in like idealized settings to try to gloss over, you know, what is very potentially a pretty weak intensity, you know, in the internal side of this light. And then they're kind of trying to make you pay for the fact that they didn't make the light strong enough way down the line after the fact. Now, last thing I'm going to get into is Mobius, okay? So one of the reasons why I got rid of my G6 is that three times over a span of like 3 months, I made a video about it, if you can go find, but the intensity of my lighting was randomly dropping. So like I would notice it because I was starting to get weird readings, like the uptake of alkalinity wasn't as high as normal, or the pH was wonked. And I'm like, oh, there's a problem with like my equipment, you know, in some other regard. And then I would look at like the appearance of the tank, and I would think to myself, it's kind of dim. Like it really looks kind of dim. And upon putting a PAR meter in, oh, it's at like 50% of the strength that I have it set at. However, when I would hop into Mobius, it was telling me that everything was fine. And what ended up fixing it was having to like take the, like, basically delete the light and factory reset it, and then set it all back up and hook it back into my aquarium in Mobius. And once I hooked it back into the system through Mobius, like, then it would work properly again. But guys, like, that's not, and it was all three of them. So I would have to do that to all three every time. So Mobius is so weird to me. Like, one, they want you to use Bluetooth only. They're keeping Ecotec products Bluetooth only and AI products that way because clearly, again, this is big corporate stuff. They want you to buy an MXM module so that you can use Wi-Fi with their products, with AI and Ecotec products. And in order to use an MXM module, what do you have to buy? A Neptune Apex. So in order to make Ecotec products that cost, like Radeons, that cost $500+ a pop, work on Wi-Fi, which they're treating as some like luxury thing, where like ReFi's, the lights you see in front of you, for $480 have Wi-Fi programming out of the box. They're treating Wi-Fi like this big special thing that you have to pay for. And you do. You have to pay two tiers, once for the MXM module and once for a Neptune Apex in order to have that functionality. And even then, the reviews of the MXM module are dismal at best. They are not good. So the product that, like, this whole, like, triple tier journey that they take you through to just yank all this money out of your wallet to get a basic feature set that every Reefing Electronics should come with in 2024, at the end of it, you still don't have a system that you can bank on. That, to me, that is, like, I hesitate to say criminal, but it's really bad, guys. It is so, so, so dirty. So essentially, I am, like, this is my first major move in backing out of Aperture. Because I can't trust it anymore. By the way, there's stuff wrong in Mobius, like the clock drift. Everybody knows that one. You set your lights to go off at 10 p.m. and then like the next day they're going off at 10:01 and then 10:02 and then 10:03 and then it's back to 10:01 and then 10:05 and the clock just drifts like crazy. And if Aperture's not willing to let Ecotec pay some guy, some computer nerd to go in there and fix those lines of code so that the clock works properly on their devices, I have no faith that they're going to fix this random intensity drop problem. And I have no faith that they're ever going to fix like the MXM for all the people who are desperate for Wi-Fi control functionality on their Ecotec and AI devices through their Neptune Apex. I have no faith that they're going to do any of this stuff. So I don't know. Like, it really just seems to me, like, I guess I haven't heard anything about this, but we can expect a G7 over the summer. And that's going to tell us a lot. If it is, like, you know, I mean, it'll probably come in a different form factor. I think they'll probably, we'll have to concede that they can't get away with doing the exact same form factor again. I wouldn't put it past them, but I think probably it will come in a different form factor. Maybe it'll go backwards more toward the G4 or something like that. Who knows? But basically, for the money that they charge for this stuff and the multiple tiers that you have to go through to gain access to basic feature sets that once you gain access to them, like Wi-Fi through the MXM and Apex, are unreliable at best, the return on investment and value that you have to gain for shelling out those hundreds and thousands of dollars for this quote-unquote quality, high-quality, premium stuff, I just don't believe it anymore. I just, that has all been eroded for me. My faith in everything Aperture has been utterly and completely eroded, and lighting is like the poster child of that, right? The most egregious, I think, is still the MP40 for, you know, $470, soon to be $499. Just wait. But yeah, the value of what I got for $480 a piece from Daniel at ReFi Labs, guys, the people laugh because I still don't know what they're called, but is it the driver? The mean, like on a Radeon, you have a Meanwell driver, right? which is a pretty reputable. Is it called a driver? Maybe it's called a driver. There's shows where I'm like an idiot with technical stuff, but the power brick, let's say it like a in my plebeian way, a power brick. The power brick for the Radeons, that felt good to me, by the way, compared to other power bricks that I have experienced. It feels way better than the AI power brick. Oh my God, the AI power brick terrified me. I'm like, it still terrifies me. I'm like, this is not good. But on these ReFi Uno 2.0 Pros, the power brick is literally like heavy duty steel. I mean, it is so sleek and so like just overbuilt. And the cordage is good, strong cordage. The lights come with a little screen on the front of them to help you with like programming and connectivity and stuff like that you can toggle on and off via Wi-Fi, by the way, because after you connect it to Wi-Fi, you can be anywhere in your house and like check on the status of the light or hop in there and change settings or whatnot, change your ramping, whatever. And that's just out of the box for $480. Like this feature set that. Just the fact that Wi-Fi for $480 comes in a stronger light that includes two different sets of what are essentially like, ways to make your light a totally different light with those reflectors. That to me, oh, and let me mention before I go on, a 3-year warranty. That to me, it's just stunning. Like I'm like that value to me where I am in reefing now. 6 years in, that value needed to be rewarded, right? Like once I studied up on what light I wanted to switch to, I'm looking at this like, and I've got lights now that are I'm represented on the light front by Luca at QuantaReef and by Daniel at ReFi Labs. And the level of service and commitment and the excellence of the spectrum behind these lights and the care and attention that they gave, not just to the science portion of it, but also to the value that you are getting for the service and for the feature set of the products that they're sending out. By the way, Luca's drivers are the same way. Like they're this it's overbuilt steel. So like now at this point in reef keeping, 5+ years in, I look at things like this. I'm not just looking at hype. I'm not just looking at, at all the popular people are saying this is good, or it has good overall ratings and, like more good customer service experiences than bad. Like that stuff does matter. But now I'm looking at like everything from like customer service right on down to like, do I have the ability to change how this light works with like a different lens or reflector or something out of the box? Do I have Wi-Fi connectivity? Do like, are the is the heat distribution system good enough that over time the electronics are not going to cook out after 5 years? Are the, what's the cordage like? How long are the cords? How strong are the power bricks? How like, all this stuff. After you get yourself set in reef keeping and your tank is settled in and you're just focused on like the minute changes of making, little adjustments to just help your coral flourish a little better. It's funny how you can start to focus on other aspects of the hobby. It's almost a luxury to get to that point in reef keeping where you're like, okay, keeping coral just alive. Right now, I've got that down. Unless something comes out of left field, I've got that. I can keep it alive. Now I can think about so many other things. So I understand I kind of stumbled through my examination of the G6 there, and like I'm kind of giving this back-ended comparison of it to the ReFi, because again, this is a new thing. Like the last year, I've been able to start really looking into stuff like this and really paying attention to it. But I think that like me be just entering in the last year, 18 months, 2 years, whatever, kind of gradually shifting into this phase where I'm able to look at these things, and me being an average hobbyist that's not tied to any sponsorship, ambassadorship, some dry goods store where I sell these brands or something, I'm not tied to any of it. I think I do offer, like, there's a way for me to give a unique perspective to hobbyists who will one day be where I am, where, like, they can keep the coral alive and they can start to focus on other things. And I kind of want, people who are getting to that point to be able to be aware of some of this before they do what I did and spend thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars just going for what they consider to be the quote unquote safe bet or the best bet or whatever everybody else is doing because it must work if everybody else is hyping it. Instead of going there, like reflexively or in a def like as a defensive reaction to wanting to kind of like protect yourself as you struggle to keep coral alive and like settle into the hobby. I just want to be that perspective so that when they get to this point, they're like, oh, okay, like I do have other options. There are other options that are considered equivalent value to like an Ecotec Radeon, or a better value even. And I should probably explore some of those other avenues before I just keep diving in. Especially with a company, and not a company, a firm who's bought out an entity, let's call it. That's probably the best word. Because right now, it feels like some kind of entity just swallowing up everything. Like when it comes to Aperture, I have no trust left. After the horrible customer service experiences I've had of late, especially with AI. After the unreliability that I experienced with Mobius and the Radeon, after I started looking at like what the Radeon G6 actually was versus the G5, and I kind of realized what the writing on the wall was there, some of what was quite potentially like, as much of a money grab as they could pull off, without changing hardly anything about it. I mean, the build quality of the Neptune Apex. And the way that they've moved Neptune across the country so they can have greater vision and control over them. But also, like, all their products are out of stock and they're like a disorganized mess. I'm like, how's this going to pan out? Like, basically, I feel uncertain and I have like no way to confidently say that any of these companies that are operating under the umbrella entity of Aperture, none of them are companies that I would say are like a totally like their product, service, or feature set, and considering the value and return on investment you're getting, none of it's like what I would do. I just wouldn't. So again, I understand there's people who are just like, dude, stop talking about this. I don't care about this. I just want to, talk about coral and fish. This is my happy place. Stop bringing, all of this like stuff about economics and society and all this, Unfortunately, like I can't. Like this is how I think, and I think it's important. And even if you don't like that, I think it's important that people doubt. I think it's important that people question. I think it's important that people critically think about things beyond the hype or beyond what, companies want you to see and feel and believe. And that you have influencers out there who are not tied to some ambassadorship or sponsorship or, getting free stuff and not disclosing it or whatever it is that you can bank on in that way that are gonna shoot you straight, even if you don't agree with them, even if you don't agree with me. I think it's important for you and for the hobby that some of us exist and be able to have this doubt and this skepticism and ask these questions and push the powers that be to into the light a little bit and kind of hold them there until they're uncomfortable because that means things get better. That means that exposure means innovation could get better, that they feel more heat, that they feel bad about maybe moving the price of the MP40 to $500 right at Christmas time. Maybe they think about that twice if enough people talk about it, right? So that's why I keep doing this, despite the fact that some of you have begun to resent me for it. And it saddens me that there are people whose opinions I so respect and who I've followed and that I really, really, I love hearing their thoughts on the hobby that are like You're annoying for doing this now. You're annoying to me. I don't want to hear it. I'm sick of it. I'm not going to listen anymore. And I'm like, look, it does sadden me. I understand Reef keeping something else for you. You pay attention to other things in it. But I'm going to keep doing this, guys, because like I think that like taking a flashlight and shining it into these corners where generally people aren't talking about things or companies are, you know, counting beans in the dark, I think that it is important, right? So yeah, that's it. Be skeptical. Seriously, just always ask questions and be skeptical. It's too important. But yeah, that's what I have to say this podcast episode. It was a long one. I know some of it was disjointed, but it's a lot to talk about and encapsulate. And lighting is kind of like the gateway to getting into discussions of a lot of what's happening right now in the hobby, with on the industry side at least. So I will have tons of videos in the coming days about these ReFi Lab lights. I'm loving them. I love the appearance of them. I love the functionality of them. I love the feature set of them. I feel like it's a great value. I love the warranty. So far, and I haven't had them long enough to say, oh yeah, you know, they got the longevity too, but I'm feeling very good about these, and I'm very eager to compare them to the Radeon G6. And we're gonna see. Like, I'm gonna go into this with an open mind, and I'm gonna literally show it on video, cranking these channels up, so you know for sure, right in front of your eyes, like, this is a real test. Like, this is happening right now. Let's compare how strong these lights are versus one another. I wish I had a spectrometer. I'd test spectrum too, but I'm sure somebody else can do that. All right, guys. Have a good week. I hope that all you stay safe and get your work done and make it through to the weekend so we can all do a bunch of tank maintenance. Have a good one.